This is the current federal tax developments for the week of January the 7th, 2019. Current federal tax developments are brought to you this week by Kaplan Professional Education and by your state societies of CPAs. We've been promising there should be a quiet week coming up sometime soon. We now found that week. It appears that after the mad rush to get things out by the end of the year, and I have to assume a lot of people had goals to have things done by the end of 2018, and so therefore these things got out by the end of 2018, everything just kind of stopped this week. In fact, the only document we did get out this week, we got out on December the 31st. So in reality, nothing has come out after the first of the year from the IRS or Treasury on these tax issues. And the court cases this week, well, you know, I'd have actually been kind of going over a bunch of collection or bankruptcy specialty cases. There just wasn't anything that was actually overwhelmingly interesting, shall we say, in the list this week. So we'll talk about what happened. We'll talk about some other things, but maybe we'll actually get a shorter podcast this week. Might happen. You never know. But in any event, hope you had a good new year. This is our first podcast of 2019. And obviously, hopefully by next week, we'll have something happening from the IRS that we'll be able to talk to you about our Treasury. We certainly are looking for those regs we're waiting for, among other things. But in any event, hopefully having a good start to the new year. Obviously, tax season won't really be running for a little while here. We all get to sit back and wait for that fun part to start. But otherwise, we hope you all had a good year, and we're going to be hoping for another good year to come. With that, let's get to the one document we actually got this week. This is IRS Notice 2019-9, issued on New Year's Eve, December the 31st, 2018. This notice implements Section 4960 that was added by the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. 4960 was meant to be the equivalent of 162M on for-profit organizations. And it's supposed to apply to a special, you know, a for-profit organization has a limitation on the amount of compensation that it can deduct for certain executive employees. The theory was we wanted to have the same sort of limitation in the not-for-profit arena. Obviously, making it non-deductible isn't going to do anything there. So in this case, we now have a special 21% excise tax on the excess compensation of covered employees. Now, 21% should be obvious to you. That is the rate of tax on corporations. So where the theory being that's going to be the equivalent of disallowing the deduction on the corporate side is we'll go ahead and just impose a 21% tax here in the not-for-profit arena. It kind of follows 162M. And I guess one of the issues you're going to discover if you read this notice, this particular notice is 92 pages long. If you are involved in a not-for-profit or you advise tax-exempt organizations that have relatively highly compensated employees in them, you really want to read this. There are 92 pages. It's a series of questions and answers. It goes through many of the details involved here. The tax basically applies on standard compensation in excess of $1 million received by a covered employee or any excess parachute payment. A covered employee generally is an employee that has ever been one of the top five most highly paid employees of the organization. Once you obtain that status, you don't lose that status. So it stays with you forever. So over time, we're going to accumulate, you know, you could accumulate a number of covered employees. Any of them go over $1 million in compensation, suddenly you've got a problem coming. There is an exception in there for payments that are made to medical professionals, including veterinarians, for actual medical services. So that's interesting. The reg taught, you know, this particular piece of guidance talks about how that works and how you have to, and how you can separate those out. It also clarifies one thing that probably got a few people concerned. It does not apply to any compensation that was paid or vested before January 1st, 2018. It's issued right now because we don't have a regulation. This particular notice says effectively anything that was vested before January 1st, 2018, that would have been considered been paid in a prior period, a period that was not subject to this $1 million limitation. Now, the actual document is kind of interesting. Like I said, 92 pages long. So certainly if you are impacted by it, if your organization is impacted by it, you want to make sure that you've taken a look at it. It actually is the only thing in our printed material this week is going to be our write-up of this. And they're actually, the questions come down to, they're divided into sections. And the sections are going to give you is, they're going to start out with some general questions. They're going to talk about what is the tax organization that's covered by this and related organizations. That's who has to pay this. Who are covered employees? What exactly is excess remuneration? Definition of what counts as your medical and veterinary services that can be excluded from that calculation. How to calculate, you know, what an excess parachute payment is. What is the three-time base amount calculation that's used in your parachute payments? And how do you compute the excess payments? How do you report your liability under this particular tax law? Some miscellaneous items. And finally, what the effective date was. The one thing we're told in this notice, though, until such time as final regulations are issued, you're allowed to use the items guidance in this notice. As well, the IRS says, because they haven't had regulations issued, you're allowed to use any reasonable interpretation consistently applied of the law is acceptable until those final regs are issued. But here, and that's not surprising because in the absence of regs, the test at court is always going to be, was this a reasonable interpretation of the law? But the scary part is the notice actually gives us situations where it will tell you this particular interpretation of the law, we're just going to tell you we're never going to consider to be reasonable. So even if you're going to kind of try to go on your own way, you've got your own theory about how to handle this, you're saying, I can use any reasonable interpretation, and we've already got this figured out. You better go back through the notice and make sure nothing of your interpretation falls into one of those categories, which the IRS has said will not be deemed to be reasonable regardless. Otherwise, you basically end up having to go to court. If you want to fight this thing, that's basically your other option to deal with it. Probably not an option you really want to go for. Now, that's it for documents that actually do something this week. We did, though, have another document of interest that's got a lot of press coverage this week in the tax press. And so I thought I'd deal with it here. This is a discussion draft of the technical corrections of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. This is one of those nasty things that nobody likes to talk about. But whenever Congress has a new law passed, we tend to have lots of issues and drafting errors arise. And that eventually means we have to go for this thing called technical corrections. The Blue Book came out last month, and the Blue Book made clear that for a number of things that were in the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, the actual text of the law as written wasn't really what Congress intended to do. In fact, there are dozens of such notes. Just all you got to do is bring up the Blue Book, bring up that PDF, and just do a search for, you know, the word technical correction. And you'll find just bunches of these that are identified in the footnotes as, oh yeah, to achieve this result, it's very possible the law might need to be changed. Usually that means it's absolutely certain law might need to be changed. So Chairman Brady gave us this 91-page draft document. Now, he was chairman when it was issued on January the 2nd. He is no longer chairman. He is now the ranking minority member because, as you may recall, we got a brand new Congress from a week ago. So we now have a different Congress than we had last week. And that means that now Chairman Neal is the chair of Ways and Means, and Representative Brady becomes the ranking minority member of the committee. So he didn't actually put this in, introduce this as a bill. Rather, it was posted as a discussion draft. Now, what's interesting is it was posted as a discussion draft on the House Ways and Means Committee site because he could do that as chairman. The problem is, of course, it's on a letterhead that says he's chairman. So now it's kind of the actual original page it was on doesn't exist anymore. Although the actual discussion draft can still be downloaded. If you have the link, there's no problem. You can take that down. So you actually go take a look at the document. This 91-page document incorporates basically the Blue Book technical corrections. That's what Chairman Brady told us he was going to be doing and using for this. And basically, so if the Blue Book suggested a technical correction, then all Chairman Brady has really done, former Chairman Brady has done, is simply put that in his discussion draft. Now, it includes a number of items that we all have heard about being a problem. One thing which includes that probably taxpayers would like to have fixed is the, shall we say, the retail glitch. But it also fixes, but also has a fix we weren't so thrilled about. We talked about that last week. The question for your limitation on the loss limitation, that $500,000, $250,000 net business loss limitation, where we disallow the loss under the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. And the, you know, and it would appear that wages and salaries are business income. You know, nothing in the law said they weren't. Traditionally, they've always been treated as such. The IRS form to calculate the amount of disallowed loss has the wage line on there to add that as part of the calculation of business income. The, you know, the instructions, the what the IRS has posted online has said that it's part of business income. But the Blue Book said, yeah, we didn't really mean for that to be part of business income. That one's going to be a little more interesting to see how it goes through. Now, as I say, this is former Ways and Means Chairman. So the catch is he really can't hold hearings at this point. It's not his choice as to whether hearings are held or what's done going forward here. It does give us a starting point, but most likely, if these are going to move this year, they're probably going to have to do it along with some other bill. And most likely, they're going to have to do it in a form where in order to get these changes into the law, the Republicans are going to have to give up something. You know, that is, there's going to be a price to get the bill fixed. The idea being that, you know, the Democrats may still want to treat this as the equivalent of the ACA. You know, the idea being it was passed with all Republican votes. You know, you broke it, you fix it. And the idea is, well, now they can't fix it because they don't have the votes. So we'll just see what happens. You remember for the grain glitch, there was a price paid to get that fixed. So we'll have to see what else comes up this time. So I wouldn't bet on these changes being fixed instantaneously. We may get something. I'm going to hope we get it by the extended due date of the returns this year. That certainly it would be very helpful if we got it by then. My guess is if we're going to get them, we'll get them by then. But there's always the outside possibility that we just don't ever get these things passed, or it takes a couple of years. Because as we get later in 19, the problem is 20 because it starts coming closer. And let's remember, 2020 is an election year. And not only election year, 2020 is a presidential election year. So now you're going to have a lot of posturing going on later in the year that people don't want to be remembered for having, you know, for taking votes that may be contrary to what they're saying on the campaign trail. So we may have some fun getting this through. We just got to keep an eye on how it's working. And one other little piece of news I got to bring you up today on this, since we have such a short week anyway. If you were wondering, did we get those final 199 CAPE regulations by the end of 2018? The answer was no. As of today, when I record this, I'm recording this on Sunday, January the 6th, the regulations are still shown on the website of the Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs, get the right name for that. They're still showing these as pending review. So 199 CAP A are pending review. Remember, they were received by OIRA on December the 14th of 2018. They were not tagged as 10-day regulations where they were supposed to get them back in 10 days. That means they technically have 45 days to review these. If they take that time, and by the way, they've gone over the time frames before and nothing's happened. So it's like, you know, that deadline is, well, that's great, except there's no real, you know, there's nothing negative happens to OIRA if that deadline passes and they haven't got them done. So bottom line is, you know, we're not sure when they're coming out. But my guess is most likely we're going to get the final 199 CAP A regulations out as tax season actually begins in earnest. That is a problem because, remember, we have that open question about the change made in the publication for real estate agents and insurance agents. You know, are they or aren't they specified service trader businesses? The proposed reg says they aren't, but the publication draft says they are. And our concern is that that came from these final regs we haven't seen yet. We also have other areas. Hopefully the service is going to give us some idea about, you know, a safe harbor for rentals when they're a trader business. as well. We're going to hope that the service allows us some better guidance on in what situations, how do you determine how many trade or businesses you have? In essence, when can you divide a entity into multiple trades or businesses, or when can't you have them divided? And those are all things we're hoping are in the final regulations. As it stands right now, they're still to come. Well, as I said, it was a very quiet week. But it's not quiet as far as getting ready for tax season. Be sure to take a look at your last chance. A lot of state societies are running in January courses that give us an overview of what the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act is like, what guidance we have to date, and allow you to try to, you know, figure out how to do things for your upcoming tax season. Check your state society's catalog. Many of them have live courses. Some of them will have webinars. Take a look at that. Some of them may be using webinars by various broadcasting groups. You just have to take a look, see what's there. But I would strongly consider, especially if you got your update earlier in the year, and we've had regulations and proposed regulations come out since then, you might want to go ahead and kind of at least brush up and see where we stand on these rules. And again, January is the time to do it. Obviously, if you're holding off hoping to get the final 199 CAPA regs, that's great, but they might not come till February 20th, in which case then probably there won't be time to do a seminar. So you might want to, pick a date, late January, early February, grab one of your updates in that range and just try to get yourself up to speed. Okay. In any event, see what's out there. I will be going to Portland in a week to do a couple of courses there. Neither of them on Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. One's on fringe benefits, which we'll talk some about the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. And the other one is on construction contractors, which, yeah, I got a minor Tax Cuts and Jobs Act issue there, the small contractor rule. But aside from that, no big issue. I'll also be doing a couple of sessions here in Phoenix before the end of the year. I'll also be doing a number of sessions for firms. Again, it's kind of getting out of time to do that. But if you really want to try to set one up, we might still be able to find some time for you to get, if you want to have us come out there and do a session for your firm. We may still be available. We can see if we find a date to squeeze in. Right now, I guarantee it's going to be late January or the first week of February. Probably we'll be looking at doing stuff somewhere in that range, first week or second week of February. But if you're interested in it, be sure to contact us. We can still do that sort of thing. Contact your state society, contact us. We can get that stuff set up. This has been the current federal tax developments. And yes, it's shorter this week because there wasn't much going on. Well, if we do have something come up this week, we will post an update on the current federal tax developments.com website. If you want to go ahead and email me, have any questions or comments, you can email me edzollers@currentfederaltaxdevelopments.com. My Twitter handle @edzollers. I am a member of three state societies for which I follow their Connect sites. So if you're a member of Arizona, Minnesota, or New Jersey societies, and you want to check into their Connect sites and, post questions, I tend to watch the tax areas there and we'll try to follow up. I also every so often take a look at California Society's Tax Talk group, see how that goes. Oh yeah, I forgot. What other course will be doing this month? On the 15th of January, I will be doing a partnership and escort basis course that's actually going to be a broadcast from Cal CPA, which means that shows up in a lot of states' catalogs. You can sign up at a discount through your state society. So you might take a look at that, escort partnership basis. We're talking about all that kind of fun stuff. So that's coming up on the 15th of January. You can also follow me on Reddit. I tend to follow there the discussion group, the subreddit at reddit.com/r/taxbros. We hopefully will get some guidance this week. It's kind of nice. It's like we're getting lots of it there and it's kind of helpful. And now it kind of died off this week. But hopefully next week will bring us some more guidance and give us some answers, some of the things still remaining because we had to get ready for our first tax season under the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. But whatever happens next week, and it's just me coming on and saying nothing happened this week, be sure to join us here in a week for more discussions of what's happening in current federal tax developments.